I don't usually have my phone in the pulpit, but I have our live stream going, which is today, it's a podcast. So there's no picture except some of the slides I think might show up, but the live of us is not seen. So if you guys are listening, there are four people on now, and so I posted on there, and I wanted to let you know, if you're listening and you didn't see my post, if you'll post your praise when we get to that part on this chat stream, I'll share it here in the congregation so we make sure everyone who is connecting with us right now has an opportunity. So I just have a short bit to do today. We prepared last week, and if you weren't able to do that, I'm sorry that you kind of came in and didn't know, but this is a praise service, not a preaching service. We do have a few more 67 Names of Jesus pamphlets out on the info booth if you'd like to look at that with scripture alongside it. So, Tony shared just a portion of the story of the first Palm Sunday. Last week we shared one portion from one of the Gospels, and I'm sharing this morning the account from the book of Luke, and then one other passage before we get into the praises that we're all going to share. So from Luke chapter 19, verses 35 through 40, "So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, 'Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that.' He replied, 'If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers.'" And we talked a little bit about that. The presence of Jesus draws praise, and he's here. He's here right now. If you follow him, he's in you, as well as being around us. And the cool thing is, he's ahead of us, way out ahead of us, so we can have confidence in him when he calls us in different directions. And the second passage I want to read before we just go into an open time where we'll share praise, and Doug's over there with a microphone, and I'll have the other one here, and I'll be on this side, is from Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, and it talks about a culmination of praise, really, and I say, why wait? But the verses are this: "Therefore God exalted him," that's Jesus, "to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." There's going to be a great outpouring of praise when this life is over. And why wait, right? So this is a time where we're going to praise the Lord, whether it's a name of God that is particular to you or something you've gone through that you'd like to share. I will share one just to begin with, and that is, I am grateful for both the knowability of Jesus and the mystery of Jesus. They coexist at the same time, and I hear people sometimes in the world say, you can't know who God is. Well, we know that's not true. He's revealed himself to us. He died for us. He was risen from the grave. We're going to celebrate that like mad on Sunday, next Sunday. Some say something like we need mystery, so we had to invent a God. And that's where these paths cross for me, because God makes sense. That's the best answer when anybody comes to me with any kind of question, and then there's some detail that goes on beyond that, is God makes sense. When we talk about the role of evil in the world, we understand, as long as we understand the story and how it actually happened and how God has been pursuing us to rescue us from all this brokenness from then until now and until the day Jesus returns. I love the parts of Jesus I'm not yet equipped to understand. That's mystery. But I know his reliability because he's knowable and he made himself known. So, man, you get in a tight spot. And so I had an attitude problem yesterday. I'm not going to share you what it was, but on the way home I said, "Lord, just help me clear this out of my stupid head so I don't take it out on my wife when I get home." She was here for the movie night, and then she left in the middle of it. She just got you know, lung problems. You know that if you're a regular. So, and he did. And I was able to serve her when I got home. Anyway, praise the Lord. Who wants to praise the Lord?
I'll go first.
Number two, I think, Chris.
Well, you can hear me, right? I just like to praise the Lord because he meets us where we are, no matter where we are in life. He can find, we don't have to necessarily come to him because he comes to us in all things. And we can find him in all things in life, and the love we have for our children, and the love we have for our parents. It's a stepping stone through life, and he reveals himself as we go. And I'm just grateful for his unconditional love and the way he reveals himself to us in those ways, and for his constant forgiveness and abiding love, standing near me in all times of doubt. When I feel like I'm, you know, life is like two steps forward and one step back, and he's always there, you know, it's like the footprints in the sand. He gives us that strength, especially in these days. I feel like since the pandemic, we've been rowing upstream as Christians, as in our faith and a lot of things in society. I just feel like whether these are the end times or not, I don't know. But I felt like Jesus is coming alongside even more in my walk with him in these times. And so I'm really struggling, you know, with my attitude towards what's going on in the world. But at the end of the day, if I didn't watch the news and I didn't do anything and I just sat at home and loved Jesus, I wouldn't know any different. I just wouldn't know. It's not impacting me or my life or my family's life right now, except for maybe it costs more, but I still have it available. There's still food available. He's providing for us, even though we're uncertain with every day and how we're going to live it and what's going to be the next thing that happens. You know, so I love him for that.
Amen. Thanks, Dan. Come on now, I told you quiet guys last week, I'm praying for you guys who I've never heard a word of public praise from. There's something that happens when you both publicly praise and publicly pray and take that step of faith. Something happens in your spirit, I am telling you, it's powerful.
I just want to say I'm happy for Karen Mark with that. Please be up every morning so I can be here. I don't know what to do with these two. And I've been praying for my family a lot so they can get back to the other and stop this fight itself. It really hurts me.
Let's just pray for a minute, would we? Lord, be with Lori and the struggles in her heart right now. She expresses both praise and need to us. Thank you that you're big enough, and actually, it's even more than that. You say, bring it, bring all of it. Bring it. So bless her in Jesus' name, amen. My son gave me a pin. I can't find it. I wanna wear it. It's got Jesus on it, and it says, come at me, bro. I love that pin. I don't know what happened when we moved. I can't find it anywhere. Come on now.
This is kind of for Lori. It's what I had prepared to share.
There. Okay. I've been studying the prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 because that's where our Tuesday study is at now. And so the name, as we went through the names this week on those sheets the pastor gave, Mighty God stuck out to me. And when I was studying Ephesians, it says that he is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or imagine from the power that's within us. And that prayer in Ephesians was talking about the inner man. It kind of goes along with what you said about your attitude. We have that power within us to do super exceeding abundantly beyond all that we can ask or imagine, to just help us to know the love of Christ and to have that spiritual power within us. And so I appreciate that he's the mighty God, the God of the impossible, to do things that we can't do ourselves.
Amen. See how easy that is? You know, the people who we just read about the Bible, they just said sometimes one word, Hosanna, or thank you, or, well, that wasn't in the text, but you know. Number two, Chris.
I just wanted to give thanks and praise that I can be imperfect. I'm definitely imperfect, but God doesn't care, and he loves us how we are, where we are. And I'm thankful and praise him for that.
Amen. Thanks, Tim. When we are weak, he is strong. When we admit our weakness, he has an opportunity to show his strength. Oh, you got to wave a little bit.
All right. I want to praise God for our gifts. We all have gifts. Everybody has a gift. Even if you don't know what your gift is, mine is serving, caring for people, the gift of discernment. I didn't know I had some of those gifts even 10 years ago, but now I do. And I want everyone to think about, what did God give you for your gifts? We should all use them.
Amen. Well, that's a great word, by the way. If you are in that mystery spot where you don't know what your gifts are, we'd be happy to help you discover those things. We have ways to help guide you. Can't tell you, but we have ways to guide you. Carol, did I see you standing up?
I'd like to thank God for being Emmanuel, that's always with me and the peace he gives me.
Amen. Emmanuel means God with us. We hear that a lot at Christmas time. He's with us every day, though. You guys are like, you're falling behind. I know there's fewer of you, but remember, bacon next week. This side gets bacon next week. Maybe, maybe. I'll have to look at my budget.
I just want to give praise for a safe trip. I know that seems, I don't know, minor, but we were rear-ended on the way down, but it was just minor. The guy didn't even pull over, but it was fine. And we also have a new granddaughter born.
Ooh, so congratulations.
But she's going to have a couple surgeries in the next 6 months, so that's a little bit of a concern. But so we've had a few family issues, but God is there.
Okay.
God is working.
Awesome, he is. What is your granddaughter's new name?
Ella.
Ella? Mm-hmm. Let's pray for Ella. And Lord, thank you for new life that you keep bringing into our world, even though it's pretty messed up here, but you're with them. And now we know this new life, Ella, who has some physical needs, that she's facing some surgeries. Lord, I believe you're still a healer like you were when you walked on this earth. We pray that you bring healing into Ella's life and be with her parents and here with her grandparents, the Bridgemans, and other family members. Help us to see the power of your love and healing displayed, whether it's a dramatic healing right now today or another process that you want them to walk through, because you know what you're doing. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to thank God for his provision. The last church I pastored at, for some reason, has not forgotten me. And one of the guys there that we ministered to and ministered with, his wife passed away, and they had just moved to southern Michigan, and he knew I was here, so he called me up to do the funeral for this. And you know how the day was the other day with the snow coming down. My son, I give God praise, my son says, "You're not driving." I said, "Then how do I get there?" He says, "I'm driving." So he drove us down there, and I just thank my son for being that willing servant to help in that kind of a situation. And I also thank God for, I had the material prepared for the service, and God just kept whispering in my ear, add this, add this, add this. And it was longer than I had written, but it apparently touched a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. And so I thank God for his provision in our weakness, which is all the time for me. And that he touched some people's lives there that day. So, praise the Lord.
Amen. I'll piggyback on that too. Doug came into prayer meeting on Wednesday and said, you guys need to pray for me because I have this funeral. It's on Friday. Not a lot of material was given to him to build on as far as those connections with family, and God answered prayer. We need to talk about that all the time. You ask, he answers. Sometimes it's not what you want, but even in the things you don't want, he actually shows you better things. Sometimes it takes a little while to become clear, but he shows you better things. You can't stand it. You have to say something. Somebody here. That's not you. You're right.
I've got a couple of things. That's all right.
That's fine, Mark.
I got more than that, but I want to encourage everyone to pray for your pastors and their families. God has put it on my heart to pray for them. Pastor John and Pastor Mike and Tony. Tony's our pastor. Remember her. Their family, and the ones that have children that are still in school. And I know what it's like. And pray for Pastor Doug and Doris and Pastor Jim and Debbie. They are our pastors, even though they don't serve in a way here that we pay them. They're still our servants, still God's servants. I was talking to Pastor Doug yesterday or last week, and I said, Satan wants nothing more than to destroy our pastoral families. He wants to destroy them because they're our leaders, they're our shepherds. They're the people that serve God by serving us. And to pray for their ministries and everything that they do. And I thank God and praise God for a son that is willing to serve in the military. And he was deployed this week. We can't say where, and he'll be gone for a while. But there are only two of my nephews and nieces that serve in the military out of 60-ish. Nephews and nieces. And I take pride in that. And what he's willing to do, and he even re-enlisted to do that. But I ask for your prayers for our pastors and their families, their spouses, their children. Do that, please. And God's put it on my heart. I don't always do really well, but every day I try to pray for them. And their spouses, to love them, to love on them, and thank them for their service.
Let me pray.
Pray for our adult children, too.
Yeah.
I'll take all the prayer we could get, that's for sure.
Father, each of us probably has someone in our lives that we wish they were walking a different way than they are right now. But when it's our kids, it's a hard place to be. But you're a God that deals with hard problems. So get into their heads, Father. Bring people into their lives that ask them questions or help them change direction. And Lord, I know you work on your timeline, but we'd appreciate it if you do it sooner than later. I thank you for the hope we can have because you know them and you want them to be with you. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you were here last week, you heard this. If not, I'll say it again. Praise aligns you with God. So if there are 12 things that you just can't praise him about and you're mad about, but there's one thing you find, start with that one thing and you'll see how God does wonderful things in your life.
Well, for one thing, I say thank you for praying for my son, Merritt, and his wife, and all the 8 children in Ukraine. I know things have been revving up over there, and they hear lots of sirens where they're at, but Merritt said their little village is quiet. But since they've been there November, they've been able to deliver over 1,000 bags of humanitarian aid to the people there. Mm-hmm. And they always get the gospel. As soon as they enter a village, they gather up and they're going to have praise and worship. They're going to hear the gospel message, and many say yes to Christ.
Awesome.
And I'm just so thankful. I pray all the time. I get out in the middle of the night. I pray, you know, their safety, and God has provided. And then I had an extra special thing happen this morning. I have a friend. She was my friend from junior high. We were really good friends. Uni Park, she's Korean. She was my good friend, and I lost contact with her. I haven't seen her or talked with her about 20 years or so.
Wow.
And she called me this morning. We're going to get together tomorrow. We were talking in the parking lot. I was a little bit late getting in here, but yeah, you know, people, you know, you pray through your life, you know, and wonder how they're doing, and I get to see her tomorrow.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. He never loses track of anybody.
Yeah.
We do sometimes. Sometimes we lose track of ourselves, that's for sure, right? I'm not picking on you, Felicia. Oh, you want to? Oh.
I'm really bad with talking in front of a lot of people. But I just wanted to say, the church, too, like, when I'm here, how Dan said, steps backwards, forward. I feel like that throughout the week. And then I come here, and I'm, yeah.
Praise the Lord. Felicia's our famous member because she saw us online during COVID as she was looking for it. And watched for a while, and then finally she came and tried us out. She went through membership. She's a member. She's on the We Care board, and she serves her turn with the littles down the hall when we dismissed the littles along with Tony's group and brought her from wherever she was. Like Tim said, he meets you where you're at. But guess what? He doesn't leave you exactly the way he found you. Pray the Lord, man. I'm glad he didn't leave me the way he found me. Okie dude.
I'm really thankful for a lot of good things God has done for us and some bad things that come along all the time. But he's always there with us. I get up in the middle of the night and I look out the window and see all those bright stars.
Amen. Don't be afraid of this thing. You see what Jerry did? Chris was turning him up, and he was making it go farther and farther away. So I don't do that. It's just so people can hear. Oh, okay, here we have another one. Patty's a little shy.
So Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday, my 95-year-old grandfather went in and got his pacemaker replaced, new unit, everything. And I called him the next day, and other than a little soreness, the man's still kicking, and it's amazing. 95 years old, and he got his pacemaker replaced, but he's doing amazing.
Praise the Lord. They'll be doing that at Bell Tire pretty soon.
So sometimes I get bogged down with all of the details and how we can't possibly know everything, and we're inundated with information and information on top of information. And I was talking with Tim a little bit this morning about AI. Well, last week, I think it was, somebody said to me, yeah, but eventually AI is going to automatically water itself down. And I thought, well, there's a thought. God's never going to do that. He does know everything, and he orders our steps. And when we look at the things like the smallest particle known to man, everybody says, oh, it's like atoms or electrons or something like that. It's actually called a quark, and it's in the shape of a cross. It's kind of a squiggly cross, but anybody can tell you it's a cross if you look at it. I don't think that's by accident, nor do I think it's by accident that we know it. And then we look at all the things in history, and we're getting things popped up on our phone about archaeology and things like that. Do you know the number of times that archaeology has confirmed our Bible? It's mind-blowing. When we went to outer space, somebody was having problems in NASA, and you've probably heard this, but a guy reached in his desk drawer, and they went back and they decided, oh, such and such and so, and remember when the sun stood still, and they calculated it. All of a sudden, their problem was solved, and it was spot on. I don't think that was an accident either. So anyway, I just want to praise him that we're doing the right thing here. If we don't do it, the rocks will even cry out.
It turns out that all of us are carrying crosses. In your connective tissue, I'm a physiologist by training, in your connective tissue in your body, there is a strong winding of a piece of connective tissue in all of connective tissue shaped as a cross, and it holds you together. Accident? Like Bob said, I doubt it. But it is a reminder that he loves us, and he's going to hold us together physically so that he can hold us together spiritually. So rest in him.
I just like to praise the generosity of the people of the church here. When there's a need, it gets fulfilled. I mean, someone steps forward and helps with that need. In my case, I mean, I'm not very hands-on with things. I mean, I was an engineer by trade, and I can do some things, but I've had some people in the church help step up and help me. Mike helped me with my tractor when it broke down, and Jim helped me with some plumbing yesterday, so I just praise God for everybody that steps forward and fills the need.
Awesome. See, that's where the gifts come in. The Bible's very clear that we're given gifts so that all of us together can accomplish all that's needed. And all it takes is for us to say, I have a need, and I can meet that need or be part of that need.
Thank you. I spent a lot of years without God in my life, without Jesus in my life. So I know how bad it can get. And once I accepted Christ, I've never been sorry. And it's just been one wonderful ride. So I want to thank him and praise him.
Amen. Thank you, Adrian. Hey, you heard Doug talk about the faith walk and his prayer, the Linden Faith Walk that's coming up in May on the 4th. It's the 4th, right? I'm not looking at the thing. So if you haven't engaged in that at all, I encourage you to go to our website, lfmchurch.net. Right on the homepage, there's the card, advertisement card, and you click on that card, and it'll take you to the Faith Walk page. And you'll see a little video, but you'll see some testimonies and a button at the bottom to link to more testimonies. I want to encourage you to share your testimony there. As long as Diana was talking with me yesterday, well, I started working on mine, and I said, well, I only left 500 characters. And I said, but if you need to fill out two of them, I'll combine them. So that's what I'm doing. They come in, and I'll combine them. I'm posting them. I chose, if you read mine, I didn't put Pastor John, because people who are not part of our congregation, I don't want to put that title out, so I just put my name there. I didn't go from when I was saved when I was 7. I went from when I came back in my 20s, because I wandered. I wandered far, I wandered deep, and God was faithful to bring me back, and so that's like probably the most powerful part of my witness in the world today is as far as I went, not only did he bring me back, but he separated me from that as far as the east is from the west. East never meets west. They never meet.
I'm thankful for what God has done in my life. I had the privilege of having Christian parents growing up in church. At the age of 4 years old, I still remember as the service would get over, I would run to back. For some reason, I had this audacious idea that if everyone wanted to shake our pastor's hand, they'd want to shake mine too. And so I would run to the back of the church and nuzzle in between the pastor and his wife, and but what I remember is him doing is going, "There's my little buddy." And that was something like 64 years ago. And I still remember that. And I think of all those that have been invested in my life and having a boring testimony in that God has spared me from a lot of things that I don't even know what I was spared from because I have followed him throughout my life. And I'm also thankful for what he's doing in my life now, pretty much. I remember Debbie saying as we were approaching retirement, I don't want to just for us to sit in a rocking chair. And it's starting to look pretty good. But this week, the last 3 weeks, I feel like an old guy. All I've been doing is going to the doctor. But it's all for all the routine stuff. And I saw my regular doctor Thursday. And he says, I have 40-year-olds that are not as in good a health as you are. And I praise God for the health I provide. Thank you for what he's provided for us. I'm thankful for a healthy family, for my children, for a grandchild and one in the oven, and all that God has blessed us with. And I'm anticipating with joy what lies ahead.
Amen. He still thinks everybody wants to shake his hand, so don't forget him on the way out. And first time now, I've offered this several times since we went live during COVID, but we have a praise from the so-called live stream, the podcast today. Karen Mitchell, who is often here, is watching, and she wrote, I give my faithful God all praise for walking with me in this season of life and has been a constant source of comfort each and every day. Praise the Lord. She lost her husband, almost 2 years now. We're coming up on two, I believe. Some things she's been through. Thanks, Karen, if you're still listening, for sharing that praise. If you feel uncomfortable, here's how to get rid of it. Raise your hand and I'll give you the mic and you can get it over with. And you'll be glad you did. I'm telling you, I've never met anyone who said, man, I'm really sorry I broke down and said something. Dave, I'm looking at you, and I don't know. I think maybe the Lord says you ought to be seen. Okay.
I want to praise God for his protection. There's different ways he's protected me, but I want to give you one example. I just missed barely having a head-on collision one time. And as soon as we passed each other, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I praise you. I thank you, Lord. And I thank God was watching me with an angel. I think I had an angel watching me. I know I did. Still, I'm here to tell you that God watches over you. He protects you in different ways, and he protects me that way. I do believe, and I praise God for it.
Amen. Amen. Praise God for Dave. He's said some encouraging things to me a couple weeks ago. And as Mark, asked you to pray for pastors, we're not immune from the drain and the grind, and sometimes we need that word. And so Dave just came up. He was all excited, bouncy, kind of bounces. He bounces. And that was encouraging. Mark.
I'm going to stay seated. Pastor Jim mentioned that he's got a boring testimony.
thinks he does, but you don't. Because you don't have those rotten memories that you can't get rid of from your past life. God paired me up with someone who has one of those wonderful testimonies that you have, who's been a Christian all of her life, almost all of her life, since she was very young. And I don't know why God did it, but paired me up with someone who is such a strong Christian woman and loves the Lord and serves the Lord and kind of tries to balance me out, but she just throws a lasso around me and tries to hem me in. But I praise God for the boring testimony as well as my own, but especially for that.
Amen. You just told my story too. You know, Diana, though she was saved, I was saved at 7 and walked with the Lord for quite a while before I started to wander. But she didn't get saved till she was 14. But she was always like wired for God, just like she thought about God. When we dated in high school, that's when I started drifting at the end of my high school years, and I broke up with her, you know, because I knew I wasn't any good for her, and I was not about to change where I was going, and I didn't want to ruin her and stuff. And to have her, and we've had this conversation about what the power of a testimony, there's more power in that testimony of I didn't go there than we think. So don't ever not tell that story. As you said, there are things that are there and perspectives that you have to fight against when you've had to be rescued. Well, praise the Lord. I mean, I liked it all. So many songs. Matthew West, his songs are always geared toward the prodigal. But it's not just the prodigal. God chooses everyone. Everyone. Sorry, pastors are talking too much. We're known for that. Vicki Banks is home recuperating for her knee surgery, or she'd give a testimony. I know she would. But we have a different Vicki.
I praise the Lord for calling me, and I accepted him, and the journey has been a journey of getting to know him, getting to know myself. And it's been, we're not done yet. I can't wait. The journey won't be over until he comes. But I wanted to kind of encourage Mark and those who have thoughts that come into their mind. I know that you wrestle with and you don't like, but the Lord tells us to take them captive. And that's what I do. When a thought comes that's not mine, I know it's the enemy just trying to bug me, but I don't like them because I want a holy mind. And I take those thoughts captive and I give them to Jesus, and he takes them. They might come back, but I do the same thing again. I say, Lord, I take this thought captive because it's not of you, and I give it to you. Because he's stronger and he's bigger than I am.
Amen. Isn't that good?
We can take everything to Jesus, no matter how minute or something that we think is not important, but it's still something that is irritating to us. We take it to Jesus.
Amen. Like getting rear-ended, that's not a small thing. I'm taking over your side. I don't know why, Doug. I'm just... Bacon.
I just like to praise God for rest. You know, about a month ago, Pastor talked about rest. And even though Ramon and I are retired, you know, there's always something we feel like we have to do. And we're on vacation, and other than going to Universal Studios, which I don't think I'll ever go again. We had a good time of rest. We slept in, we took naps, and sometimes that's hard for me. But we were able to do that and come back refreshed and energized, so I praise God for that.
Praise the Lord. Boy, I'm not there yet, but I'm getting closer to the time when I can look forward to taking a vacation from retirement. I can hardly wait to find out what that feels like.
A decade or so.
So I've been sitting, and the Lord keeps pushing me to say this, but I just want to give praise for our church. It's changed throughout the years. I've attended since I was a brand new baby up till now. On and off, just different reasons, work, whatnot. But at one time, I think we had 5 pastors, former, current, sitting in our congregation, if that says anything, for the power that this church has. Our census fluctuates. Sometimes we have over 100 people. Sometimes we have 20 people sitting in these chairs. But we sent people overseas as missionaries. We sent teens in different areas. Pastor Tim goes down to Kentucky all the time, taking our church with him. Our church goes overseas. Just because people aren't physically here anymore, they're attending a different church, or they're sitting at their home attending a different church, we, as Linden Free Methodists, started that and sent them out to our communities. So I'm just thankful for our church.
Amen. I haven't put much of an emphasis on that, but someday we're going to talk about called and your calling. It really doesn't matter what age. I wasn't called into ministry till I'd been a mechanic for 6 years and done a bunch of other stuff. I dug a grave once by hand, a bunch of other things, and then finally the Lord said, this is where I want you to follow now.
And God does that differently for different people. I'm a college professor. That's what I do. I love it. I love it. And had one pastor that said, well, you like to teach, want to teach something from the Bible. And I should have said no, but I didn't. And once I did that, he started passing my name around for pulpit fill in our denomination. And I would get called to these churches to, you know, fill the pulpit and do something. And I enjoyed it, dragging doors all over the place, but it was kind of fun. But the thing that got me was, you know how there was a time when pastors stood at the back door and shook everybody's hand? That was the way it was done. And it started happening, I don't know, about the third church that I did pulpit fill for. Some, no offense, little old lady. It was always a little old lady, white hair. She would grab my hand with both hands and crush it and say, why are you still teaching? You need to be in a church. And you know, you ignore that because you don't want to go that way because I loved what I was doing. And then I would go to the next church and it would happen again. Same scenario. Same over and over and over again. Finally, my wife got tired of me complaining about it and said, do you suppose any chance that God is saying something to you and you're just not listening? That was a hard transition to say yes, but I'm glad. It was a whole different life.
Amen. I'm gonna call a praise team to come up because we're getting ready to close this out. We'd go way longer and just keep going, but you know, we hope some people coming in for our Easter egg hunt, and we have a little lunch before that, and so we don't wanna crowd that and all the needs that happen. But let me just challenge you to ask God to enable you to publicly praise. You don't have to start here. Maybe it's at your family table. Maybe it's with a friend. Any step of recognizing who Jesus is in my life is a great step. And, you know, whoever has shared today probably didn't start out as a person who would. I was a shy loner. I still love being alone, but and I wouldn't talk in a crowd. Nobody ever believes that if they've heard me for like 2 minutes. But and God changed everything. And it's not only that it helps me, but I get to show others. And that's, you know, the legacy we leave behind is Jesus, not me, but we're the ones that leave the legacy of Jesus behind when we're obedient. So I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray, then we're going to close out with our doxology, and we'll go from there. Lord, I don't know how you process the false praise of Palm Sunday, the first one, except, you know, you're holy and perfect, and so things don't get under your skin like they do us, but I know you were sad, at least, that the people didn't realize who was among them and that you came for them. And at the end of the week, you would die so that they had an opportunity to know you and be able to stand or sit and share praise because you changed their lives and took away the futility and gave hope and joy. And not only that, a future forever in that time when all of today's injustices will be rolled up and thrown away, and we'll just be able to enjoy you and one another. Thank you for a time that we can set aside to praise. Lord, if anybody is here or listening online, or maybe at a later date, they might listen to what we've done here and feel that tug of maybe a useless life, maybe a wounded life, who knows, so many things that they don't yet know you, that they would simply come to you. That one passage from Philippians said every knee will bow, but it's our hearts that you want to bow. And I pray that people would bow hearts to you and say, Lord, you've accepted me, so help me now follow you. You're the one I'm going to follow. You're the key in my life. And for those of us who've already done that, lead us deeper. Lead us to understand in the negative things that are going to be a part of our life, you are there. You were there and planned to be there long before they happened. So though tragedies will occur, things that are hard to explain and understand, you are there to bring life and purpose and meaning and for us to help one another as we walk along with you and glorify you. Lord, use this week in our lives, whether it's a devotional we're handing out today or some other thing we do that's a little extra than what we might normally do. And this thing called in the church calendar Holy Week, we'd reflect really deeply on you. I mean, you doggedly returned to Jerusalem knowing it was a grisly, gruesome, painful end to set your people free. May we, Lord, deeply appreciate that freedom and walk in it. So go with us this week, and let the praise not stop. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One more time, Chris. I got this as a text from Pat Smith. I didn't look at my text. I was only looking at the chat. I'm thankful that the Lord changes not. He has given us his word, which he watches over to perform. We can count on it. He is faithful always. Read it, believe it, and pray. That's a great benediction. Amen.